The Bible reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13 and the first 17 verses. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "Do you call me teacher and Lord? And rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And this is the word of the Lord.
Before I start, I wanted to share some feedback on how people have been getting on with the daily practices which Nikki's been teaching us. Following last week's, where Nikki encouraged us to be unbounded, Rachel Townsend sent this. "I loved the visual that Nikki used of her hand being bound, along with the prayer to be released from fear. A great reminder of how fear can creep in a subtle, conniving way. I will certainly remember that prayer every time I put a scarf around my neck, and I plan to use it with my Year 6 children to help them to understand how they can live an exciting life, set free from fear through the love of God." And another church member said this, "I was challenged by what Mark said on Sunday about seeing these practices as taking a risk. So this week I've been doing last week's I Dare You to Move in the morning and this week's Unbounded in the evening. On the very first day, God spoke to me at step 4. I'd begun to feel a bit overwhelmed by all the different church roles I've now got. I knew I needed a new vision for them, so asked the Lord to give me just that. And he did. He encouraged me to see each role as a calling from him, that he's called me to serve him in this way, as much as if he were asking me to go abroad. I felt a great weight being lifted and have looked at each role differently since then." So encouraging to hear your feedback. And we would encourage you to keep going with the practices and also keep going with letting us know how you're getting on with them. So we've reached the third week of our series, Apprentice, Putting Discipleship into Practice. And this week we come to practice generosity. Let's start by acknowledging that God is the source and provider of everything we have. everything we have has come from you. And we give you only what you first gave us. Sometimes we begin our Zoom prayer meetings by asking people to say what they're thankful to God for. It's a great way to establish a positive mindset and keep things in perspective. The old hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it may surprise you what the Lord has done. It's a great way to begin each day. No matter how dark things are, no matter how many challenges there are in your life or around you, we can ask God by His Spirit to give us grateful hearts and to make us generous towards Him. He comes to us with open arms which took Him to the cross and the ultimate act of generosity. Let's respond by opening our arms to Him. Not only that, but God has always required His people to be generous to others. He even uses the word open-handed in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Give generously to the needy and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in the land. And throughout the Bible, we read of the benefits of being generous. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The generous will themselves be blessed. Good will come to those who are generous. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Last week we read the story of the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears, dried them with her hair, kissed them, and then poured expensive perfume on them. As well as taking a risk in behaving this way, the woman also demonstrated extreme generosity towards Jesus. And today we're going to look at another story about washing feet, which Steve read to us from the Gospel of John, to see what principles of generosity we can learn from Jesus himself. And we see him doing three things. First of all, he puts love into practice. This was an extremely powerful act of love. Verse 2 tells us that Jesus loved his disciples to the end, or some translations say fully or completely. Sometimes love is a feeling, but more often than not, love is a decision, a choice to put the other person first. I don't know if you've ever washed anyone else's feet or had your feet washed by someone else. I actually offered to wash Mark's feet here on the stage during this talk, but he wasn't that keen. Jesus did not need to do this. There would have been servants around whose job it was to wash the feet of house guests. But he chose to do it as an act of extravagant generosity and love. Think about all the acts of love that you carry out every day, possibly without realising consciously that that's what they are. The cup of tea or coffee that you bring your spouse in bed in the morning. The meals you cook for your family. The time you spend listening to a family member or friend who just wants to talk. The way you offer to ease someone else's workload if you see that they're particularly snowed under. The way you tidy up the house after your children. Or, in normal circumstances, the miles that you drive to take them to after-school activities. These are all acts of love. And, of course, happening when it did, probably the same evening as the Last Supper, or if not very near that time, this act of foot washing prefigures Jesus' death and so makes us think of that verse in 1 John. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus' actions here reflect the greater act of washing, of cleansing, which happened when he died for our sins and rose again. The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Secondly, Jesus demonstrates humility. Jesus made himself vulnerable, physically vulnerable, by kneeling down on the floor. Vulnerable to criticism from those who thought this act was beneath him. Vulnerable to his disciples, who thought that a true leader shouldn't do such a menial task. True humility comes from being secure in who you are in God. Verses 3 and 4 say, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, because of that, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. Jesus had nothing to prove. He knew who he was. And yet he chose to be the suffering servant who Isaiah had prophesied about. In the first week of this series, Steve Rouse referred to Philippians chapter 2 as a key text in this whole idea of being apprentices to Jesus. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And we follow him who made himself nothing in order to serve others. As Jesus himself says during the Last Supper, I am among you as one who serves. In the kingdom of God, the roles are reversed. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And Jesus is the perfect demonstration of this paradox. Thirdly, Jesus shows the way. Jesus makes it very clear in this episode that he expects his followers, and that includes us, to follow his example. Verses 14 to 15 it says, Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. If we ever need an example of what being a Christian means, it's this. Jesus puts love into practice. He demonstrates humility so that we have a clear model to follow. But Jesus sets another example for us here, because if we look at Peter's response to Jesus washing his feet, we see an unwillingness to be served, a reticence about being the recipient of someone else's generosity. And if we're honest, this can sometimes be how we respond. We've been brought up as Christians to put Jesus first, others second, and ourselves last, which can make it difficult when people want to show generosity to us. Jesus gently but firmly explains to Peter that he needs washing just as much as anyone. Jesus is referring to the need for everyone to be saved, to be washed in his blood. But I think we can extend this to apply to everyday relationships within the church. It was never God's plan that we should be self-sufficient. We're not meant to do everything for ourselves. That's why he designed the church as an interconnected, interdependent body, or vine, or building. There'll be times in our lives when we are in a position to be very generous to others. And there'll be other times when we're more fragile and need their generosity to sustain us. As many of you will know, my role here at the Free, part of my role here is to serve the senior members of our church family. So I make no apology for quoting seniors as examples of generosity. Since the first lockdown started in March, I've sent regular emails to the Welcome Break team, including inspiring tales of the resourcefulness of older people. Many of you will remember Captain Tom Moore, who walked 100 laps of his garden in April of this year to raise money for NHS charities, finishing on his 100th birthday. The figure raised now stands at nearly £33 million. But were you aware that Captain Tom inspired others to do similar things? 90-year-old Margaret Payne from Scotland set herself the challenge of climbing her stairs nearly 300 times, the equivalent height of the Highland Mountain, Sylvan. She started on Easter Day, and it took her 2 months, and she's raised over £347,000 for charity. Dabirul Islam Chowdhury from St Albans, aged 100, also walked 100 laps of his garden, like Tom Moore, except that he did it during Ramadan, from March to May, when he was unable to eat or drink during the day. He raised over £60,000 for victims of coronavirus. And more recently, Ruth Sanders, aged 104, from Newbury, started walking a marathon in early September and completed it on the 4th of November, the day before the second lockdown. So far, she's raised over £31,000 for Thames Valley Air Ambulance. But it's not just walking and raising money. 90-year-old Agnes Kasparkova is proof that you are never too old to infuse creativity into this world. She is transforming the small Czech village of Luka, one hand-painted flower at a time. And how about baking? Some of you may have seen the local news that Flo Osborne, aged 89, from Dovercourt, has made hundreds of fruit pies. Initially, they were for the elderly and vulnerable, but then for children during half term. These are truly inspiring stories, which prove that you are never too old to be generous. These people recognise what they've been given. They also recognise their limitations, but their goal is to be generous despite them. And how much more for us who continue to benefit from God's generosity day after day after day. Of course, we don't all have to walk marathons, decorate houses, or bake pies. We've seen this morning that one of the best examples of generosity was when Jesus filled a bowl with water and picked up a towel. He started with one disciple's feet and then went on to the next and the next and the next. It's about taking small steps of generosity, as Nikki will show us in this week's practice. Mark's already spoken to us today about how we can make this an open-handed Christmas. You may be up for all the initiatives we've mentioned. You may invite 5 neighbours to the doorstep carols, nominate 10 people for Christmas dinner. You may put cards through everyone's door in your street, and that's great. Or you may put just one card through one person's door, and that might be the best card they get this Christmas, because it shows them that they're loved and that there is hope. Whose feet can you wash today? At the end of this passage, Jesus says, "You will be blessed if you do these things." because you're following in his footsteps and imitating a generous God. Let's just take a moment to wait on God now. And in the quiet, ask God, whose feet can I wash today? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your refreshing grace that jumpstarts the flow of grace to others. Your attractive goodness that enables me to do good to my neighbour. And your generosity that moves me to share with those in need. Give me such a full contentment with all you've given to me. Such a generous spirit towards my neighbour. That the only thing I can't get enough of is seeking the good of others and the honour of your name. Amen.